When the doctor's... Great one, Chris. Thanks. When the doctor says you're going to have Down syndrome kids and abort them, don't. Don't.
No, not at all. They're bringing happiness.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, to see them grow up and to praise God.
That's right.
Awesome. Amen. Thanks, Bradley. For the last few weeks, the subject matter on Sunday morning has been not basic stuff. It's been pretty intense. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and choices that we make and things like that. By the way, you want to pray for next Sunday. I'll be speaking from the Old Testament on Samson and Delilah.
Oh, no.
And subtitle is Losing to Lust. So we'll see who doesn't show up next week. Yeah. This morning's really basic, but I really felt led of the Lord. Lord, you know who's going to be here today and some of the things that we need to talk about. From the book of Romans, Denise Shiner is going to read scripture. I'm going to ask you to stand as we listen to the word of God. Would you all stand while she reads?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And I'm sure next week will not be a Sunday to miss, because that Samson and Delilah story is awesome. Anyway, the scripture reading today is from Romans chapter 6, verses 14 through 23. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that through you, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefits did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Denise. There comes a time when each of us must consider our eternal destiny. Our eternal destiny. This involves our future. This involves eternity. This involves life after death. This involves life after life. Our eternal destiny is determined by the options that we take in this present life. Our eternal destiny is determined by the options that we take in this present life. One option that's going to lead, that we choose to take, is going to lead to damnation, separation from God, spiritual death. Another option leads to eternal life with God in heaven. One is life choice, one is damnation. Where will you spend eternity? Really, how do you answer that question? How do you answer that question? There is life after this life. Now, there are cult groups out there that say once you die, you're in the ground and your bones just disintegrate and you turn to dust and that's all there is. But that's not what the Bible teaches. There's life after life. Death is not the end. Death is simply a doorway into eternity. Very specifically, the Bible teaches that there will be a resurrection from the grave for all who die. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? A resurrection from the grave for everyone who dies. For those that might think and have been deceived that when I die, that's it, you know, it's all over. No, you're going to be resurrected, whether you know Jesus or you don't. Eternal life and or eternal damnation, those eternal destinies are determined by the choices that we make in this life. And we have options. What do we do with the Word of God, with Scripture, with the teaching of Jesus when it comes to our eternal destiny? Romans 6:23 is one of those verses that I remember memorizing as a kid growing up in a church in western Pennsylvania. And I memorized verses because we were able to get free books and I like to read. And I memorized that verse. It outlines the options that we have, both of those options, that will determine our destiny. Life after death, life after life. There's probably no subject more important than eternity and the option choice that we choose. The subjects of eternal life or eternal separation from God / damnation are directly related to Jesus Christ. His birth, His death, His resurrection, and is seated at the right hand of the Father today. Our eternal destiny is directly related to what we do with Jesus. What I want us to do is I want us to look at this key verse in Romans 6:23 and look at the options that we have and determine which option you are taking. If I were to subtitle this sermon this morning, it would be Eternal Payday. Eternal Payday. So there are two options that we find in this verse that seriously affect our eternal destiny. Option number one, the wages of sin is death. Just ponder that for a moment. Let it settle into your mind. Begin to think about it. The wages of sin is death. The first option really is not an option, which I will explain in a moment, because it results in automatic spiritual death, spiritual damnation, spiritual separation from God. It's an automatic thing. We would like to think that it's an option, but it's not really that, and I'll explain that. You just kind of hold on. The word death here means spiritual death, separation from God. Separation from God in all of His glory and all of His holiness and all of His righteousness. Death, not just physical dying, not death just as I'm gone and there's no more existence, but no, death, I'm separated from God in all of His splendor and all of His glory. And yes, it does mean eternal separation from God. And theologically, the word that we use there, and I would say 99.999% of evangelical Protestant Reform leaders and scholars and teachers would say that it's summarized in one word, hell. Hell. Let me ask a crazy question, okay? Is there anyone here this morning who really is desirous to go to hell? I won't look. You can raise your hand. No. I hope nobody raises their hand. I hope there's no one that wants to. If anyone says, yes, I want to go there, they don't understand the seriousness of it, or they have been deceived by Satan to believe lies like, well, I'm going because all my friends are going to be there and we're going to have a great party. Don't believe that lie. Maybe some of the friends will be there, but it's not going to be a party, you know. Hell is not on earth. Some people will come back with, well, I'm going through hell right now. You don't know what my life is like. Well, I know people use it metaphorically, but it is not literally hell. This is as good as it gets for non-believers. For people that aren't taking the option to choose Jesus, this is as good as it gets. And I use that little thing, and you've heard me use it numerous times. And when I talk to people, and I'll say, this life is wonderful, but it's better to be dead if you know where you're going. Because this life here is as good as it gets for those that aren't going up, metaphorically, to meet Jesus. This is as good as it gets for those that are going down. This is as bad as it gets for those that are going to meet Jesus Christ. But hell is not on earth. That old beer commercial was really right. It doesn't get any better than this for those that don't know Jesus. See, hell is where God is not. And God can choose to do whatever He wants. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. All those wonderful traits about God, His attributes. But hell is where He is not. God created hell for Satan and all of his demonic beings and everyone that they can drag along with them. But hell is not where God is. Let me clarify an earlier statement that I made. That this so-called option of choosing eternal separation from God is really not an option. It's not an option because we are all, by nature, automatically bound for eternal separation from God. It's just fixed. That's where we're headed because of our rebellion against God, because of our sinful nature, because every person is automatically set on a course of an eternal destiny separated from God because we, like Adam and Eve in the garden, have shaken our fist in God's face and say, God, I'll do it my way. I don't want you in my life. I'll live my life any way I want. And that is within our nature. That sinful, self-centered, prideful, man-centered nature. I don't need God. I don't want to hear you. And so that automatically puts us on a crash course that we're headed for eternal separation from God. And very simply put, that's why you don't have to teach kids to be bad. Kids will be bad. Now I know you say, not my child. No. All children will be bad. All children will disobey. All children will sin because of the sinful nature that is built within us. And certainly adults, we know that from life experience. So this is not really an option. That's where we're headed. There is a payday coming with a paycheck at the end of our life because we're automatically bound for separation from God. The paycheck, the payday will be spiritual death, separation from God. Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 23, clearly explains that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all miss the mark. Now, that concept there of missing the mark, and it really rings with me because it has this hunting with a bow idea. Now, let's see. I know we have hunters in the church. How many of you have hunted with a bow? Okay, a few of you. Good. How many of you have got a deer with a bow? Okay, that's good. I was hunting over a number of years ago. I was hunting north of Princeton. And I was up in my tree stand and I had my compound bow. And a deer came. For those of you that are a little queasy about this, you can just plug your ears, okay? Yeah, I hunt Bambi. No, I don't hunt Bambi. Bambi's a cartoon. Don't believe that. But I'm up in my tree stand, and I've got my bow and a deer about 20, 25 yards. Whew, man, this is it. Got it. Boom. Man, fell about 5 yards short, right? Didn't hit the deer. And I says, oh my, I could see the arrow stuck in the ground, and I didn't want to lose those arrows, you know. So I got impatient, and I climbed out of the tree stand. And I went and got my arrow. And while I'm getting my arrow, here comes another deer. I mean, how awesome was that? This one was about 10 or 15 yards. I says, oh, this is all over. I missed the first one, but I'm going to get this one. Right at its feet. Missed the deer. I said, something's wrong. It isn't me. I know, I've shot deer before. So something's wrong. Well, now it's starting to get dark, and I didn't want to shoot a deer after, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I go back and I go home and I check my bow and the pin sight. If you've hunted, you have pin sights for different yards, and you set it, and, you know, it's 10 yards, that's 20 yards, you know. The base, the block for the pin sight had come loose. So it wasn't right. You know, I missed the mark of hitting the deer because my base wasn't right. It wasn't fixed. You will miss the mark of what God expects in your life, the gift of eternal life, if your base is off. And the base has to be fixed in the truth of God's word and in the person of Jesus Christ and what his word says. That's the base. Not, I think I can do it. I hope I can do it. Maybe I'll do it. That's because by nature we are all sinful. We will miss the mark every time. Again, like Adam and Eve in the garden, if it would have been us, we would have been shaking our fist in God's face, and we will miss the mark. Is there anyone here this morning in this room that has kept the Ten Commandments perfectly? I'm looking, because after the worship service, I'm willing to stay and we'll have a nice discussion about your pride and that you've been deceived. So nobody raised their hand. In my 44 years of being a pastor, I've only met one person that's told me that, and they were very sincere. It was a grown man that said he had never broken the Ten Commandments, ever. Only one. See, we all miss the mark of God's standard of holiness, as Connie mentioned, what we've been singing about today. And holiness comes only through Jesus Christ. Sin is not a disease. It is not like a germ that gets inside me. You know, it's in my blood. Sin is not like, I got sin. I mean, if I could just shake it off, you know, or if I could just go wash my hands with something, you know, some good soap, or we used to wash our hands with gasoline when I was a kid and probably did it as an adult with grease and car parts and all that kind of stuff, you know. So it's not a disease. It's not like if I had a blood transfusion or if I could just get that disease out of me, if I could shake it off, you know. Oh, that's not sin. It's in our nature. We live in rebellion against God. And the automatic payday, the automatic paycheck is eternal separation from God. See, if you walk out of here this morning and you have rejected the second option that we're going to talk about in a moment, and that is the option of eternal life, you're automatically bound for eternal separation from God. You're automatically going that way. And there has to be repentance and saying, hey, I'm going to come and do it your way, God. I'm going to do it Jesus' way. So the second option is this. The gift of God is eternal life. Like the very first one, this one also is an absolute. It's an absolute. It's established. You can't change it. It's from God. It's from God's word. And because we're automatically, by our sinful nature, headed for an eternity, separated from God and all of His glory and all of His goodness and all of His holiness, bound for what we would call hell. And if you're not sure of what that is really like, I would encourage you today to read Jesus' words in the gospel. Read the book of Revelation. Some of the descriptive phrases that are there. A place of torment and suffering and rejection. All designed by God for Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet and demons and so forth. But everybody else that he can drag with him that have rejected Jesus. See, we are automatically headed in that direction. Until God has intervened in history. God has intervened in space-time history. And He's given us this opportunity, this provision of eternal life that's all through Jesus Christ. Amen. See, the birth of Jesus was more than just the birth of a prophet or a moral teacher. It's more than some religious figure. The birth of Jesus is God's supernatural intervention in man's dilemma. To provide deliverance, to provide salvation, to snatch us if we choose to take His gift. To provide freedom from our natural, automatic, eternal destiny separated from God. It all hinges on what we do with Jesus. I want to make that very, very clear. It all hinges on what we do with Jesus. Now please note here that the Apostle Paul, writing this book of Romans, by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, makes it very, very clear that this eternal life provision that God is offering is a gift. It is a gift. Eternal damnation and separation from God, quote, hell, is an automatic wages that we will receive. That involves work. We're automatically working our way towards separation from God. You show me the man or woman or the young person that has never come to God on His terms through Jesus, and I'm telling you, they're working hard to head in that direction, separated from God. You may say, well, some of them are terrible, you know, the Hitlers and the Mussolinis and the Stalins of the world and the Jeffrey Dahmers and all those. They're terrible. Well, everyone's still working their way to that payday. But God has intervened. And He's provided us a provision. And He calls it a gift. Why would He call it a gift? God's beautiful, beautiful plan. Eternal life, as an option from God, is a gift. And we can do nothing to earn it or work for it. See, the moment we try to work for it, it ceases to be a gift. The illustration has been around for many, many years now, and it's the matter of someone coming to your house and they want to bring a gift. Let's suppose that, who can I pick on today? I pick on John all the time, so I won't pick on him. But he's got Chris sitting right beside him. Chris Wilbert won't mind either. So Chris and Karen, his wife, have invited my wife Connie and me over to their house for dinner. And Connie says, hey, I want to take Karen a gift. I just want to get her a nice little gift for the house and put it in a box and wrap it up with some pretty paper and some ribbon around it. And we go to Chris's house and they invite us in and we're there for dinner. And Connie says to Karen, I brought you a gift. And all of a sudden, before Karen can grab the gift, Chris reaches in his wallet and pulls out a 50. And he wants to give it to me or Connie. But what happened to the gift? It's no longer a gift. He tried to buy it. eternal life, an option from God in the midst of our dilemma, is a gift. And we can't buy it. We can't work for it. Actually, we don't even deserve it. Let's suppose that you were dying of cancer, and I had the cure, and it was in this little pill, and I had a bottle of them, and I found out that you're dying of cancer, and I offer it to you as a gift. Would you come and take it? I'm sure most, if not all of you, would. But if I attach to that you want this gift, you have to take it as a gift. Don't offer me any money, because the moment you offer me money, I will not give it to you. The moment you come in pride, in a haughty attitude, hey, I deserve it. You better give it to me. I'm not giving it to you. But if you come humbly and say, you have the cure for this in my life, I want the gift that you want to give me. See, God Almighty has the greatest gift that we could ever receive, and it's called eternal life. That's the greatest gift. He takes us the way we are. Be it a nice citizen, be it a good neighbor, be it a hard worker, be it an alcoholic, a drug addict, a prostitute, whatever. He takes us the way we are. He doesn't say, clean up your act first and then I'll take you. It's like, I got this cure for cancer and you're dying and you want it. And you think, well, man, I better get dressed up in my best clothes. No. Eternal life is a gift to all of us. And the key is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the unique God-man who lived, died on the cross, God sacrificed for our sin. He rose from the dead, and He is victorious over sin and death, and He reigns at the right hand of the Father today. He is our intercessor, our advocate, our mediator, and by the way, the only mediator. God hears no one but Jesus. I can't go to God for you. I can pray for you. God only hears Jesus. And He's there. He's our advocate. And He's saying, He has received the gift of eternal life by faith and trust in me. And yes, we must repent. That's the turning around, the 180-degree turnaround. No longer will I do it my way. I'll do it your way, Jesus. And that deals with our pride, our haughtiness, our arrogance. That deals with I'll work for it, I'll earn it, whatever it takes. It's I'll repent, I'll turn, I'll do it, I'll come to you on your terms, God. I will confess my sin, I will confess that I'm a sinner, and that I need you, Jesus. I need you. I will receive you as my Savior and my Lord. You are the Christ, you are the Messiah. I confess that you are the Lord. You rose from the dead and you're alive today. And I trust you. I trust you. I trust in your shed blood. I trust your word. It's not a temporary faith / foxhole faith. I'm in the midst of a jam and I need Jesus. Jesus, get me out of this. No. It's not just an intellectual faith. I believe in Jesus. Maybe you believe in Jesus. I trust that you do. You know, Satan believes in Jesus. The devil, demons believe in Jesus. But they will not have eternal life. It's trusting. It's resting in Him. I trust you, Jesus. By the way, you know when somebody sneezes and you say, God bless you, you know what you're doing? Back in the medieval days, people thought that when someone sneezed, they were sneezing out evil spirits. So when you're going, I bless you, you're thinking, well, I'm glad the demons are gone. Seriously, check it out. So then I never say bless you. I don't want to assume somebody has demons, you know. Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? If you reject God's gift, you, as we all, will spend eternity separated from God. If you receive God's gift, you, as we all can, spend eternity in heaven, in His presence, in His love, in His glory, experiencing Him. If you have never received that gift, will you receive the gift of eternal life? See, Jesus is knocking at the door, and we invite Him in. And He says, I have a gift. He says, you can't buy it. Being a good person is not good enough. Trying to keep the commandments, that isn't going to cut it. Whether you've been baptized, you know, saved, sanctified, sanctified, whatever, that's not enough. You got to trust me. It's a gift. Receive it from me. Will you receive that gift of eternal life? See, God has a gift for you. And if you've never taken it, I'll say, reach out and say, Jesus, I want it. Let's stand. We're going to pray. Right now is a good moment. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. See, God knew you would be here today. And He knew the importance of this very basic foundational message. Eternal life. Your eternal destiny. It is determined by what you do with Jesus. Will you receive His gift? I exhort you to cry out to Jesus even where you stand. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. I repent. I trust you to be my Savior and Lord. I invite you into my life. I receive you. I confess you as my Lord today. And I thank you. Cry out to Him today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. And you know, each of us, in the condition that we have in our relationship to you, Lord Jesus, I want to see everyone here someday in forever land, in eternity with you. I want to sit down and say, man, it's good to see you. Touch those that may have never received your gift, to by faith reach out and receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Your Holy Spirit is so awesome. We leave here today. We want to breathe in your presence. We praise your name. Amen. We're dismissed.